Good afternoon, everyone. How you doing?
Hello, everyone.
So I was having a couple technical difficulties here getting connected. I'm on the go today. Kind of a time crunch thing. but want to kind of go over my week. Waited for a few more people to join. I know I changed the timer on everybody, but gotta take the wife to the doctor. So appreciate everyone that's able to adjust their schedule to make this. But you know, this week for me, honestly, I would say it was kind of challenging. I'm ending the week a little bit above break even. I think the frustrating part was, you know, I would make some money, then I would lose some money. You know, I would make some money, then I would lose some money. So for me, actually, I honestly should have been down pretty bad because I was short. I was short AMD. I was short MU. I was short SPY. And honestly, like all those actually worked out. So it was kind of interesting. I was short coin, that went against me, that worked out. But then at the end of the day, I did lose on XLP. I didn't take profits on there. And then I did lose on Palo Alto earnings. So between Palo Alto and XLP, it basically set me back to break even after those winning trades. So not the best feeling, but not the worst week. Honestly, I feel like it could have been a lot worse. Cause, when I was short AMD, coin, and MU, I was like one day early and it really, really ripped. I mean, AMD went up to like 78 and I was short the 72 strike. So, and then MU, I was short, and that ripped up too. And I was short the 61 strike. So, you know, all in all, I'm not going to complain. The research lab in terms of the SPY research lab channel is actually still holding right now. When I went, and that's what actually helped out, kind of even me out a little bit, is when I went short at the top of the channel. If you guys didn't check it out, check out the research lab with the channel that I posted on. It was either Sunday or Monday, and right now that channel is still holding. So until we break out of there, I'm still going to be trading. I'll still be trading that channel on SPY. And right now my targets, if I want to go short, if we can make a run to like 402, 403, I would like to start adding some short in there. And if we come down to about the 385 area on SPY is kind of where I'd like to get long. And those are kind of just my, you know, targets right now. We're kind of in the middle of the channel, which makes it hard to see. I mean, so I would like it to move a little bit higher to make a trade, or about 10 points lower, which, I mean, saying it out loud seems like a lot, but that we moved, what, yesterday we went from 390 at the lows yesterday up to like 398, 397 today. And now we're at what, 395, 394. So 10 points definitely possible within a week. You know, we've been moving 5 to 10 points a day. So, you know, I would like to see the bottom of the channel hold or the top of the channel hold before I commit some capital there. One thing that I have been struggling with in this market right now is my sizing. I've been sizing very, very small, which is okay. But the rewards personally don't feel like I'm making a big impact on my P&L, but also I'm also not getting like in big trouble either. So, you know, well, I guess we'll kind of see what happens. We had a lot of news over the last couple of weeks with CPI, Fed, and then we had this week we had retail earnings, retail sales, housing data come out. And then next week we are looking at, obviously we're going to have a little bit of a shorter week next week because we have Thanksgiving. But in terms of reporting, we do have durable good orders on Wednesday, pretty heavy reporting day on Wednesday, you know, jobless claims, manufacturing PMI, new home sales, University of Michigan sentiment. So that's kind of next week, not expecting a whole lot. Usually, I mean, there is trading on the day after Thanksgiving, which is Friday, which I personally never ever trade it, but some people do because they're home from their jobs, where there is a bit of volatility on that day. So I'll let somebody else get to it, but that's kind of how my week went. You know, personally, I think that what I can improve is just maybe I could try to up my capital a little bit and trade a little bit closer to resistance and support is what I'll be working on for the rest of the month.
Good morning, Nick. Can you hear me?
Yes.
You just described my week almost to a T in terms of breaking even. I'm looking at Friday to Friday and I'm up like $45. And at one point I was down about 300 at the worst and I was up about 500 at the best. But net Friday, right now, currently at this time, there's a $45 difference. It was a lot of work for not a lot of reward.
Yeah, they just whipsawed us like both directions. And it was just like, you know, all the dips were bought, but then like this morning, any gap up or rip was immediately sold off. So it kind of makes it, I guess if you were selling more premium, it would make more sense. But I think personally it was tough.
And like you, I also kept my size really small. It was just enough to stay involved, but not, risk the farm if we had some big event pull everything down.
Yeah, at one the SPY puts I had, I was short the SPY three. I was in the 390 SPY puts and I got them for pretty cheap. I it was actually a debit put spread. And, you know, I put it on for cheap. It was like 20 cents or something like that. And, you know, I was pretty small. Those came out to be like 150% profit, but I was up only like, you know, $130. So it didn't really even feel like that much money, you know.
And I don't know if it's the same for you, Nick. It probably is the same for everyone. When I, even though I didn't expect much this week, I did stay involved on a very small scale, like say just real small size, SPX zero day expiration spreads, 5-10 wide for, 50, 70, 100 bucks. But the reason is I find that if I just completely 100% set on the side for an entire week or 2 weeks, let's just say like when I'm on vacation in a way and I don't trade at all, I kind of lose my feel for the pulse of how the market's responding to all the current events. It takes a while to get back into that. So by just keeping one trade open each day or two small things, it makes me pay attention. And I feel like, for instance, next week, maybe being not so newsworthy, then I'm a little more in touch with the pulse of what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. And that's why, like, even though the holidays are coming up here, we have Thanksgiving and stuff, I always try to keep something on, because if I'm gone from the market, I mean, it may take me like, 4 or 5 days to actually figure out what's going on on again, you know. So even having like, a 20 cent debit spread is worth it, even if it goes to zero, to kind of, like you said, to keep the pulse on the market. Because I mean, once you lose the pulse, I mean, you know, it's it takes a while to get back.
Hey, everybody. Hey, Nick, how's it going?
What's going on?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was well said. Everything you said was kind of to the point and was very valid. I mean, especially when, you know, the news we had, you know, the reports that we had earlier this week, obviously kind of destroyed a lot of positions, which is fair and understandable. But I would say kind of this is a good tell on why you shouldn't, you know, trade on, you know, big news or economic events like CPI, PPI of that nature. And I think this was a good example on you either can get ripped up or ripped down easily. I would say kind of on a weekly basis, or this week, I would say I was plus 10%, which was fair. You know, placed TGT, played Asana, Western Digital, and then Caterpillar were kind of the positives, and the big losers was SPX, I would say, was my negative for the week. XLP, fortunately, I got out positive. The Poland-Russia thing, you know, we had a big drawdown on that, so that came out good for me. But otherwise, it was a fairly muted week, so I'm looking forward to see kind of what next week has to offer.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're all kind of experiencing the same thing where, I mean, it's just, I think that like the trade ideas that I had were decent. Just the market was kind of all over the place. And yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, like the XLP, I think I was profitable, didn't take my profits, and definitely that's what, you know, kind of brought me down this week. Which in this market and what we've been experiencing is you really can't let these things run too long. Cause you don't know if there's going to be continuation. You hope that there's going to be continuation. But you just don't know. And I think that's the, you know, with the whipsaw to both directions, sure, you can make a lot of money, but it doesn't seem like holding positions is going to be very profitable. When you're making money, take the positions off, realign, get back into something when you think the time is right. But letting a position run right now, I think, is what caused me the most pain, because a couple times, especially like AMD and MU, they were profitable before I took them off, and I let them run, and then they went, you know, actually AMD and MU, I was selling credit call spreads. And those actually went max loss. And then the next day they came back to full profit, which kind of shows you that one, you shouldn't hang on to trades because you're putting on more risk. Cause even if you're up small, I feel like right now it's better just to take the money, realign, and then come back in. You can't, at least the way that my trading style is, cause I'm trading pretty short term. I'm not in leaps or anything like that. So I found that, you know, I don't know why, I guess as a trader, I don't know why we keep needing reminders of these things, but it seems like this week was my week to say, hey, you know, get reminded, take your profits. You won, take the gains, even if it's, you know, 20%, 10%, 15%. And if it doesn't appear to be going your way anymore, take it. But the one thing that I did notice, like with AMD specifically, was every time it dropped, because I was short the call spreads, every time it dropped, it would rip straight back up within minutes. And like a lot of times I didn't even have time to take the profits. I would be up and then I'd realize it. And then I would close it. I'd try to close it. And then it was back up to break even or for a small loss. I'm like, okay, well, I'll just wait. And that's kind of what kept me into those trades. And even when I closed out AMD, I made like 35% on it. And as I was closing it up, because it gapped down to like 70, 71, something around there, it was ripping straight back up. I was losing money while I was trying to get my limit order filled. And I somehow came out with 35%, and then it kept going up. And if I would have held, it would have been a loser. So it just kind of shows you like how fast, like, you know, maybe because I'm trading the weeklies, how fast it could really turn against you, even when you're selling premium and you have, you know, time and on your side and data decay and all that. But the movements are just violent.
Yeah, that's for sure. And you know, you mentioned this a lot, and I'm sure you know the guys in here. You know, I've heard it a few times too, and you know, hopefully they're you know becoming better at it. But you know, risk management is huge, and you know, Nick, you're really good at that. And you know, downsizing or you know, taking profits whenever you see necessary, and you know, not getting too greedy. I mean, I think you're saying that you say a lot is you never go broke taking profits. That's your terminology. So that's something that I think a lot of the guys, even in the group, you know, live by that. And I think that's something, especially in this macroeconomic time, it's something that's important.
Yeah, I mean, I think the, you know, the motto that I've always held is take profits and redeploy the capital. I mean, like you have to, I think even if you're experienced in this market, not taking profits and trying to let something run or let something happen, even if you're up, like if you don't take your profits, I mean, you're in a losing trade. And I saw that probably three times this week, you know, where green trades turned to red, back to green, back to red, back to green, where I should just, you know, save myself the headache, take the profits immediately, move on to something else, or, you know, get back into that position at a better position. You know, I think this market will teach you that you're not necessarily, you know, not necessarily that your idea was wrong or bad. It's what you did with it after you put the trade on. Like, did you take your profits? Did you hang on too long? And that's what I'm seeing right now. And, you know, as you trade and continue to trade, you constantly have to change your strategy based on the environment. I think that's what makes trading kind of hard. You can have I have a set process, but what's the variable is obviously what the market is going to do. Like, is the market going to be choppy? Is the market going to be flat? You can't trade all those markets the same like you would in a, you know, big directional market, especially like during COVID, where you could just buy it and went up, or at the beginning of COVID you could short it, and you know, you had I mean, I had like MES micro contracts. I was trading one lots during COVID, and I held one overnight, and it would be your $750 profit. And you know, to think if you could make $750 off of one micro contract, futures contract, is insane. And something that, you know, of course we had like limit downs and stuff and all that, but you know, I think 2022 and probably going into 2023, I do feel that even if we're struggling and we're breaking even, like the reward at the end of this is going to be, you know, far greater than anything that we're dealing with now. Like if we're just constantly losing every day, you know, probably would want to take a break till, you know, maybe through January. But I think that the kind of sentiment right now is everyone's expecting like, oh, we've bottomed out. Every time that everyone starts getting on Twitter and stuff like that saying, hey, we bottomed, we're doing this, we're doing that, we're going to rally, the Santa rally is here, usually doesn't ever pan out for some reason. So that's why right now, especially when it comes to SPY or SPX, I'm going to just try to short the top of the channel or buy the bottom of the channel and just keep it very, 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 very simple. I think that's the best strategy for at least me right now.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, now that, you know, from where we are now, I mean, thankfully we never broke that 200. And I think that's a key area. So, I mean, we talked about that last week. I mean, that 200 was key. And, you know, I know a lot of us were looking at that to kind of see where we'd go. So at least for the time being, we have a, you know, a short-term top, you know, where we can, you know, play, you know, daily, you know, zero day or whatever, you know, your style is. But I think we're in a good position now where we can, you know, we can gauge, okay, this is where we're at. This is where I anticipate a break, or this is where I anticipate a rejection, whatever the case may be. So, so that's kind of interesting to see that. But, you know, there's not any major data next week that's insane. You know, we have obviously Fed in December, but nothing too explode us like we did with CPI. So something just to look out for.
Yeah, I mean, I think the major danger is that a lot of people are thinking we're going to get an end of the year rally, you know, especially like on CNBC and all the major platforms. So that's pretty much my major concern going into the end of the year. Obviously, we have, like you said, next month we have the Fed, but with the holidays, I mean, things are, I'm not going to say they are because sometimes December gets a little crazy, but going to be a little bit slower. So, you know, I guess we'll see what happens. So, one thing I do want to make you guys aware of, all the calls are being uploaded. Past calls are being uploaded to the site. Also, the webinar that I did yesterday will be uploaded, shortly for watching past webinars and prepare for past content as well.
What's on everybody's list for next week, watch list, in terms of, you know, patterns they're seeing or what they anticipate? Maybe if we can kind of see where everybody's mind's at, that'd be pretty cool.
So next week you do have Zoom and Best Buy earnings, Nordstrom earnings. I am selling some premium in Nordstrom. Based on earnings and some of that order flow that came through yesterday. So I'm currently in that. I'm going to try to play SPY depending on where it's currently at in the channel of things and try to take some action that way. But I'm not going to be trading Thursday, or I'm not trading Friday either. So, I'm really only going to be trading Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So I want to be, you know, mindful of how many positions I put on.
Yeah. Well said, actually. That's a good idea. And, you know, I know we talked about this, but I mean, I think just like you, JWN is kind of on my, you know, on watch today. You know, outside of that, TGT, I'm monitoring the weekly, which is in a bear flag. So I'm monitoring that. Otherwise, that's all I have looking at. I haven't placed anything. I'm just kind of seeing where things go to kind of get an idea, you know, where next week lies.
Yeah. One thing that was, notable to me this week was it's just amazing to me. And this is more of an observation than like a trade idea or anything like that, but it's amazing to me, like how far this rips up all the time and then it never holds, like especially like this morning and then pre-market yesterday, market was up, we closed down, but then it, you know, yesterday afternoon it bottomed out and then we ripped straight up again and then there was continuation. But I don't, you know, whatever they're doing pre-market, I mean, you know, obviously there's no volume and stuff, but I feel like they're really kind of just trying to juice those numbers for some reason. I don't know why. I mean, obviously we can't go down in a straight line or anything, but once that volume kicks in, like this morning and right at open, I mean, just someone just sat on the sell button and just, that was it.
That's one thing why I like Bookmap so much. Cause you can see pre-market kind of those massive, 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 you know, open cells that are just waiting to get to, you know, where they're at, and then boom. So it's actually pretty cool to see that. But yeah, I mean, I agree with you. But it's still very controlled is kind of what I'm noticing. I mean, unless we get some sort of data, I mean, everything is very, very muted or controlled. I mean, we were in a $1.50 range yesterday. Very, 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 very muted. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, either we're waiting for something bigger to come, or kind of we're pricing in basically everything. I mean, we ripped, 400 points on the SPX in, you know, the last 2 weeks. So, I mean, either we're pricing in something huge that's pretty much already priced in. I don't know if maybe that you can say the hike in December, or, you know, we've kind of exhausted all of our possible upside, and we're just kind of just chilling.
Yeah, some data I came across this week was basically historic reactions to the Fed pivot. And, you know, the narrative right now is, hey, we're waiting for a Fed pivot because it's going to be bullish and stuff like that. But historically, what's been proven is after the Fed pivots, the market drops even lower due to the economic conditions that we're about to enter, most likely through 2023, 2024, hopefully not longer than that. But I mean, as you can already see with the layoffs and everything like that, the companies are maneuvering to save future profits, future numbers. So I think where the market's going to go and what it's going to price in is the, you know, company's performance and how the companies are doing. And we're going to kind of come back to those fundamentals versus, hey, it's going up, it's got a $2 trillion market cap, it's fine, everything will be fine, its company makes billions of dollars, we don't really care about PE anymore, and come back to fundamentals that, you know, I think, you know, we there was just too much fat, you know, we have to go back to, and that's probably why, the only reason why Warren Buffett is actually, you know, somewhat green right now in one of the worst time periods in the last 40 years.
And then, you know, I'll say one last thing before I said, you know, so I can let someone else chime in, but it's funny you bring that up. And I think that a lot of people are not considering that part. You know, there's a pivot, yes. I mean, in retrospect, that looks good. But I mean, what does that look long term? Obviously, that's bad. You know, this is not going to be good long term. We haven't really faced or felt the effects of how fast we're hiking. I mean, I feel like a lot of people don't really consider that. And they think a pivot is great and this and that. Everything is roses and daisies and sunshine. But I mean, you know, 6 to 8 months from now, I mean, we're going to be like, dang, like, this is not good. You know, I mean, and companies, I mean, they're hurting. You know, you're going to see you're probably going to see a lot less SPACs and IPOs. And you're going to see a lot less, you know, small companies that are, you know, looking to go public, because I mean, it's a struggle out there.
Well, if you guys don't have anything else, I mean, we could get a little bit early start to our weekend. Market's destroying some lives right now. I'm gonna try to see what we do next week. Like I said, it'll be a short week. I will be off. I'll be taking off Thursday and Friday, which we normally have the call on Friday. So we'll see. You know, what the alternative is for that. I don't know right now, but I'll let you guys know. You guys got anything else before we sign off here?
No, nothing here. Just everybody have a great weekend.
Yeah, have a good weekend, everybody.
All right, guys. You have a good one. Take care.
Bye.